Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but that's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has that.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Guys know what time it is.
It's Easter Sunday.
Nah, it's really time for real talk. But it's Easter Sunday, too. I'm your host, Lizzie, out of the D, and I got my co-host, Greg, out of the OKC. And that's right, yes, we are working today. We didn't take the day off, because guess what I realized? Didn't nobody else take the day off either. This so did not feel like Easter. So, Greg, before I get into all my ranting, how you doing?
I'm doing good, V. It's been actually a decent weekend. So, yeah, just kind of enjoying the day and nice temps. So, yep, it's been a good day.
And for anybody who wants to know why are we working, hell, we ain't got no kids at home. And plus, if we had kids at home, they should be in the bed anything. And we're all month on their way to the bed, or like my next door neighbors. This is what gets me. And I'm going to say this because this is a complaint I've had for many a years, and this was before my children got out of school. Now,
yep.
Greg, I know you don't have a daughter in school right now, but my understanding, this was while my children were in school. Now, here in the North, mm-hmm. where I live, Christmas break is the week after Christmas. I mean, damn. See, I'm thinking
okay.
Christmas already. Let me rephrase this. Easter break is normally the week, like Easter Sunday is today, and then the week after is Easter break. That's here how it is here. But I've been to southern states where Easter break is the week before Christmas, and then the day after Christmas, they're back in school. And that shit irks me.
Yeah.
Because this is why people get confused. So what was it down in Oklahoma? Was it the week before Easter or the week after Easter?
We never had any holiday around Easter here as far as being out of school. No, not a Good Friday, not the Monday after Easter, nothing.
Now, when I was growing up, we got the week after Easter off. But, like,
yeah,
I went to Alabama, and that was the spring, but that was the spring break because, see, now, you know, these damn kids get a winter break and everything and everything else. I'm like, where y'all get all these breaks? All that shit. We got two breaks, and I remember because we used to. I can't say for nobody else. I used to look forward to them 2 weeks off during Christmas, and that week after Easter. That's what I used to look forward to. Because there was no winter break. There was no week off in February after coming back from being gone for 2 weeks on Christmas. I mean, every time you turn around, you see them kids got a break. I'm like, when the hell y'all learning? That's why y'all are so stupid. Y'all get too many goddamn breaks, and then they'll understand how to work.
Yes.
Talking about,
and
why we ain't got a break?
We had spring break in March.
See, our spring break, they did it right after Easter. And I don't know why they do it after Easter, but they did our spring break after Easter. So, you know, we would get Good Friday off and then be off, and, you know, for that whole week after Easter, and that was our spring break. So
right.
I'm just like, okay. So my next door neighbors, the reasons why they got a shitload of people at their house, it's not because anything going on. The fucking kids ain't got to go to school next week.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is that the kids just got back from winter break or whatever a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to be honest. I really did not realize that it was Easter this week until we were talking last week. You know, like right before the show when I was scheduling it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, Easter here quick. And it just seemed like it was quick to me. I can't speak for no one else. But I think, and I'm going to say this, I think the pandemic is the reason why, you know, we've been I can't speak for no one but me. I still have not been back to church. And even today I did church service online because even though my church is back in person, here in Michigan, even though masks are not required, places can still require masks. So the church that I normally would attend has a mask mandate. So you cannot go to church and not wear a mask. It is mandated that when you come into the house of the Lord of our church, I can't speak for nobody else, our church, you have to wear a mask. So because they're still adhering to COVID policies with masks, even though they're doing in-person worship, what they're not doing is, like, the choirs are not performing. And they said there will be no choir performance. So everything is pre-recorded. They went to whoever they needed to go to get permission to use the pre-recorded music, the pre-recorded music from the different gospel singers. Because the service is broadcast on Facebook, they had to make sure they had the licensing and everything together. So they have their license number and everything on their Facebook page. But my whole thing, you know, so when I say they're really adhering to it, it's not like, yeah, y'all in church with this. Nope. You in church? No choir. And the praise dancers even had masks on. Everyone in the church had masks. And we have two different locations, and both locations are adhering to the mask policy. And to me, and this is me personally, as long as there's still somewhat of a mask mandate, I wear my mask the majority of the time when I'm out in public. And we've had this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if it's still not comfortable for me to go to church, for one, it don't feel like it's Easter. I mean, we've been in lockdown for 2 years, and I know it's going to be a minute. For anybody who thinks we're going to bounce back and be 100% normal, we're going to be closer to normal next summer.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. I don't know where that came from. It's like I got a tickle in my throat. Give me a minute. I don't know where that came from. But we did
allergies.
Yeah, that too. We did do, I guess you could call it like an Easter brunch. And I'm going to say Easter brunch because my son had things to do. I had to get back because for anybody, public service announcement, no, I'm not being paid for this. If you have not filed your taxes, get them done. I say that because 10 minutes before the show, I finally hit transmit for my taxes. Okay, just saying. I ain't no shame in my game. But if you haven't, you have it until 11:59 tomorrow night to do it. So,
yep.
We did, I call it Easter brunch because when I tell you that we done, you can tell that we've gotten really comfortable in my family because there was a time where there would be all kind of cooking going on Easter. This was eons ago. I'm not even talking recently. Let me tell you what Easter consisted of today. I went to Honey Baked Ham yesterday and got a Honey Baked Ham. I got the sweet potato casserole from Honey Baked Ham. I got the roast. I got the broccoli from Honey Baked Ham. I went to Gordon Food Service and got the poached apples. My mother got a bag of collard greens and did the seasoning with them from Gordon Food Service. The only thing that was made from scratch today was the macaroni and cheese that my mother made. My mother even went to Popeye's chicken and got chicken. So I was like,
oh, hell yeah.
I said, we got real comfortable in my family because it was a time. And like I said, years and years ago, we'd be like, what, you ain't cook? You know what? The cooking that we did today consisted of heating up that honey baked ham and heating up everything that had to go, you know. And guess what? I have no problem saying this, but I can also say that we still, you know, we ate as a family. We prayed as a family. But it was just like, okay, we ain't doing this shit. I'm serious. Because I was like, oh, you know what? That $70 that I dropped the honey baked ham was well worth it, okay? I have no problem. said
there
that
go.
I pulled out my credit card. I was like, bump it. Let me just pull my credit card. Boom, here you go.
Yeah. I kind of did the same thing. It's like, man, it's only going to be me here at the house. Man, I got a craving. Okay, so I bought some pinto beans, smoked ham hocks, ham. That's, yeah, it cooked all night, all day. Yeah, after the show, I can't wait to dig into that shit.
It's just, you know, when you know, it just comes to a point where you got to say, why the hell am I cooking all this shit?
Yeah.
And, I mean, we still had food that went home with people. But it was like, why should I cook it like the honey baked ham? Because me and my daughter and my mother are only the really ones to eat ham. So we got the small quarter ham, and that was still a lot. But what I did was the ham that I brought home with me, I had like two pieces that I ate right before the show. Guess what? The rest of the ham in the freezer. Now, the vegetables and stuff that I'll be eating this week just because vegetables don't taste right when they refreeze them. But
No.
That'll be eaten within the next couple of days. But it's been a crazy weekend. It's been a good weekend, but it's been a crazy weekend. And I think just because it does not feel like, I'm being very honest, it does not feel like Easter. And like I said, we're still in COVID, so I know a lot of that. I mean, shoot, I was getting estimates to get repairs done on my house this weekend. I've got people coming tomorrow. I've signed a contract to have the work done. I won't say how much it's going to cost me because that's nobody's business. But I've pretty much settled in on a company because I should have had this done like 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm paying the price for sitting on my ass for this amount of time. I'm paying the price. I've got to have a new roof put on my house and my garage. And I won't say how much I'm being charged, but all I can tell you is that I've had three different roofing companies look at my roof and said, the only reason why I don't have any leaks in my house is because I have two layers on my roof. Because literally they showed me pictures of my shingles, and my shingles are so beat up that they're down to the fiberglass almost. You can see, you know, it's not completely down, but so this roof probably, since it's the second layer, it might be 20 or 30 years old. And here in Michigan, I can't speak for, I think here in Michigan, you're allowed to have up to three layers on your roof, you know, before you do a total tear down. And normally when people have their roofs done, they'll just redo the layers. Because I want to know, but when you redo layers, you can't tell the exact age, and then you don't know what's up underneath it. So I'm going to be very nosy when they do my roof. I'm going to try to be back and forth.
Are you going to do a complete tear off?
Yeah, they're doing a complete tear off.
All right, good. That is actually good. I mean, three layers, yes, is the max. But as, you know, long as it's been up there, it's best to go ahead and just do a complete tear off and put new, and that way you know exactly what you got. Plus, it relieves a lot of the weight of that roof, especially come wintertime with all the snow that you get. Yes. So that's a huge.
And see, I don't think my attic is insulated. And the only reason I say that is because, you know, well, they say that if you could see snow, like snow pockets, that means that it's not insulated. Your house isn't insulated well. Well, hell, I live in Michigan. I used to believe that until I realized we had these damn bipolar winters. And when I say bipolar, you know, we're supposed to have a fucking damn polar vortex tomorrow. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It snowed on Friday. So I'm so sick of this shit. I mean, I woke up this morning and it was 28 fucking degrees.
Oh, damn.
So I don't know if I should, you know, definitely I ain't trying to put on a bikini. You know, I ain't got that brave yet. But I'm like, damn, y'all, this weather is so bipolar. But my grandmother is here, And she will be here for her birthday, so I'm, like, really looking forward to that. Because
awesome. She
will be 94 years old on her birthday. And I'm going to say that I say things, and I think people think that I be trying to be funny when I'm talking about my family, and that I really be trying to poke digs at people. And I just tell people, I live in a family where longevity and age is something that is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell people that, they think that I'm trying to joke, because when I tell them, I knew my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother passed away when she was 98 years old. And my great-grandmother, just like my grandmother, got a chance to see my son and daughter. So when you're talking about my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mom, me, and my children, that was five generations that was alive. And that was, she didn't pass away until 1992, and we have pictures with her. So I tell everybody, it's not that I try to be funny. You know, I have been blessed that I have not gone through the heartache of losing a parent at an early age, you know. So I tell everybody, and my children, I mean, they talk about, they're like, yeah, we know our great-grandmother. And people think and the first thing to ask, I want people to, people, understand this. When someone says that they know their great-grandmother, this assumption that grandmamas are 25 and 30 years old and that's why the great-grandmamas are around, some families actually just have elderly people that are there. My great-grandmother will be 94. My mother, whose birthday is in a couple of weeks, will be 72. So let's get some things clear. And we won't say how old I'm going to be on my birthday. But kind of like this. My great-grandmama ain't no doggone 60 years old, okay? My grandmother, you know.
Yep.
So, and my grandmother has been blessed to see her great-great-grandchildren. I mean, she was talking to them today. So I want people to understand that some families, especially when you're talking to me, I'm not trying to be funny. You have to look at it. I just lost my grandfather in 2018, and that was my father's father, and he was 92 or 93 when he passed. My grandmother's sister just passed away. My grandmother will be 94. So when my grandmother turned 92, her sister passed away.
Mm.
And she was like 96 when she passed away. So, and my grandmother's baby brother is still alive, and I want to say he's like 90. So, and he's an old hoe. Okay, y'all want to know what an old pimp looked like? I had to show y'all my great uncle. Oh, Lord Jesus. And you know what? I ain't going to lie. And I'm not saying it just because he's my uncle. But I can tell you. Now, my mama told me, you mess with old men, you catch worms. So I can tell you, for the older woman who's looking for an old man, he looks good. He looks damn good. You know? And like I said, I'm not saying it because he's my uncle. He has really kept his age well, but we just are... longevity in our family is what we do. So a lot of times people think that I'm trying to be funny when I say that I'm talking to my grandmother, you know, or they say, or they'll say, oh, well, where is she buried at? And I'm like, my grandmama not buried. My grandmama, you know, over here. I mean, you have to realize my grandmother just stopped driving when she turned 90 years old. Let's keep it real. I ain't going to lie to you. If my grandmother needs to drive, I want to say her driver's license is still active. She's just choosing not to drive because her last car, she didn't go buy a new car. She had her Trailblazer, and if it weren't for the fact that she drove that car until she couldn't drive it no more, I would have gotten it. But it needed $3,000 worth of damage because the body was rusting out. The car ran good, but the body was rusting out. So I was like, I'm good, I love you, but no. So when you know, she's you know, but like if something happens, she could drive. I mean, I have no doubt about that. And with these damn new cars, shit, she probably be driving better than some of these other folks out here. Cause hell, my mother's car got all kind of sensors and bells and stuff on it. She probably drives my mom's car better than me. If you just find a damn
that
Tesla, what's the self driving car that got pulled over this week?
Yeah, I saw that. It was like it pulled over twice.
And ran from the police. I thought, let me bring on Randy, because that's what I do want to talk about, because this is something that I think that we all need a good laugh, and to me, this is like the best laugh, because this is that shit that you will only, you know, as they say, yeah, that shit happened on TV. No, this shit happened in real life, and I think we should talk about it, because it's so funny that I'm going to be very honest. I never thought in my life that I would see something like this happen. But I think it's the funniest thing in the world. So let me bring Randy on, because I think this is how we should do today. I think we should have a really good laugh with this one.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Randy. Happy Easter.
Hey, beautiful. Happy Easter to you, too. How are you?
Happy Easter, Randy.
Happy Easter, Greg. How you been doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
Yeah. You're talking about...
So we get ready to talk about this doggone self-driving car that got pulled over not once but twice by the police. First of all, my whole thing is that you do realize that was a self-driving cab, so there was a passenger in the back seat. I want to know what the hell the passenger was thinking. Second of all, I want to know how far is this fucking car that it quote-unquote moved to a safer area. But the police, I know they had to think. Remember that show, Candid Camera? I don't know if they still got it.
Yeah.
I know they had to feel like they were on Candid Camera, because that's some shit that would be tough. I'm telling you, I would be, if I were an officer of the law and I went to pull that car over, I would have to take some time off work after that just because I'd be like, okay, this ain't what the fuck I signed up for. Y'all did not tell me I was going to be pulling over fucking cars with no driver. At all.
Yep.
And the car was only being pulled over because the headlights were not on. And in the defense of the car, not the car itself, but I have gotten rentals. And actually, the rental that I got when I was in Vegas, some jackass decided to turn off the automatic headlights. So when it got nuts, and since it's not my car, I couldn't figure out how to get the fucking headlights on. I'm like, ain't this a bitch? So they said that someone had turned the headlights off on the car, so the police was trying to figure out how to get the headlights back on. And that I can understand because, like, my daughter, she does it in her car, and I said, why the hell you do that? And she said sometimes it annoys her in the daytime. And I know what she's talking about because when you go from dawn to dusk, when you're driving it in the daytime, and you go through the bright and light areas, that shit will annoy you if you have the automatic headlights set on. Because my car does it, and let's say that it starts raining really bad outside. Well, if it gets real dark, then your headlights automatically come on and your whole dashboard changes. But then let's say 2 minutes later, you come out of the storm, and then they flash back. So your eyes are doing the adjustment. So my daughter says this, in the daytime, she'll cut hers off. But she makes sure that she cuts them back on when she gets in her driveway or whatever. But I can't say I do know that's annoying because it happened to me yesterday when I went to go get that damn honey-baked ham that we had today. I was up at the store, and even though it was light outside, it was right when the sun was coming up, even though the sun was already up and it was bright. It was going back and forth through, you know, as coming up. And my headlights were on crack. I'll be honest, I think they were on crack because they were blinking on and they'd be like, "Look, we're going to blink back off."
Yeah. And see, that thing on my GMC Envoy, I have daytime running lights. They come on automatically. Now on my Nitro, no, I do not have daytime running lights. I have to turn them on manually.
Get in here.
Oh, here come the dogs.
Hmm.
Come on and get in here. Y'all act like y'all want me to beat y'all asses.
And then the vehicle over in Hawaii that we had,
yeah,
it would shut down every time you'd start or stop.
Okay, that must have been I had a Malibu. It must have been a Chevy. And what it is that you come to the seat stop and you don't ease up right, because I have a Malibu, and actually it's a gas saver. I thought it would burn more gas, but it actually, the way you keep it running is that you have to do a really, really slow stop. If you come to, I won't say a quick stop, but the way you get it back on before it would go all the way off is that you lift up just a little bit so it never gets a chance to come off. It took me a minute to learn how to do that with my Malibu.
Yeah, and see, she thought, man, that transmission, it's slipping. And then when I was there, it's like, no, I know what this is. It shuts down to conserve gas, and it's electric. So, no, you got a good transmission, but that's what it is. And all the newer vehicles, I think from 2020 up, have that.
Well, I have a 2016, and mine does it. And the my 2015 did it also. GM started doing that in the, I want to say the 2015 models, they started doing that in, because it's annoying as hell, but once you figure out how to do it, because I was trying to figure out, I had a rental, and that's what made me get this car. But I figured out in the rental, I started reading, and they used to make it where you could shut that off, and they said, no, they didn't want you to shut off because then you would mess up your transmission. So now you just have to figure out how to do the slight override. And it's and when I say a slight override, it's a matter of lifting your foot up just a little bit, because when you come to a complete stop, if you don't, the way it kicks in really good. Actually, to me, you have more power when it kicks in like that, because I could take off, and I try not to take off like that, so I try to make sure it's always running, because I hate when I go zooming off from a light like that.
Yes, yes. And, I mean, it's good, especially in, you know, areas. I mean, Hawaii, it's perfect, especially if you're on the smaller islands because of, you know, the traffic. But the big island, you're not waiting at a stoplight that long on the big island because there ain't that many people there. I mean, you got
and like
big
here, the
cities,
way our stoplights
that's
are
it.
Set, the way our stoplights are set up, and our stoplights here, the way they're set up, is that our left turn, depending on what street you're on, the street that I live off of, if there's a left turn lane, the left turn lane actually turns before the rest of the traffic. So you're sitting at the light longer.
Yes.
But then when you get into the city of Detroit, it's the opposite.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
And I would say, I think Midwest City here in Oklahoma, a suburb that I go through, they do have the turn signals to let them go first, but instead of shutting off when they are going straight through, it's a caution. So turn at your wheel when it's open. Which I think is
red.
The best thing. Yeah, it doesn't go completely red. It just goes to caution, yellow. And I love that in Midwest City. And Oklahoma City, have not seen that. Choctaw, hell no. We ain't got enough people. But I think it's awesome in Midwest City. And you think Oklahoma City would do it with as big as that city is. And they don't have it.
And, you know, I think it's just a matter of the different of them testing out. Because, like I said, when I first moved out here and they did, moving from Detroit to the city that I live in, it's strange because it's like some lights are still set up like the way they are in Detroit. And then I get to, because my city doesn't have the lights set up like that. That's the crazy thing. But the city right next to me, which is a half a mile away, which is where I normally drive through, their left turn lights are set up where you turn left first before the rest of the traffic. So when I'm in that city, I know, like, okay, this is where this city got set up, but then I can go to another city and it's set up the way. And it's really strange because it can be annoying as hell, especially, like, where I live at, you could go through two or three different cities and the lights are all set up different. And that shit is annoying as hell if you're used to driving a certain way. I've just gotten used to that. If I did not live out here, it would annoy me. Now it's like, okay, well, I know here. I know not to look at this. I know that, you know.
Yeah.
But when I first got out here, I didn't understand. I was like, what the fuck? You know, this is some stupid shit. And now it's like, okay, this is how it is. And I just kind of go with the flow.
Yep.
But I can tell you guys, this is going to be a crazy week. And one of the reasons why I chose to have this show is because I was like, I ain't taking off. And then I was going to take off May 1st because that's the day of the NAACP Fight for Freedom Fund dinner. Well, I wasn't sure if I was going to be in Vegas for the NFL draft, so I was like, I ain't going to get that ticket. Plus, I've got other things going on that day, so I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm getting enough notice for stuff. I feel like either some shit is going on or I'm completely lost, and it's probably both. Because I was like, didn't I just go to that dinner? But I remember they moved the date of the dinner from its normal date in May to October when I went, so that's why it came back up on me so quick. I was like, okay, I'm good. I ain't going to this. But it's crazy because this year is damn near gone already. I'm like, where is April gone? I mean, if you would have told me 2 weeks ago that I would be saying, damn, we're halfway through. I mean, we're literally more than halfway through April. And I'm like, this is some crazy shit. And we're going to May. I mean, like I said, it doesn't feel like an Easter. Last year felt more like Easter than today. But
yes,
I'm not going to feel like it's Easter holy until I can go back up in church and catch the Holy Ghost and act the fool with my Easter clothes on. And for those of y'all who don't know about Baptist churches, yes, we catch the Holy Ghost. Yes, what y'all see on TV is true. It's not to that extent. I mean, it depends on the church, because if you go to a sanctified church, they always got the spirit in them. But if you go to like a regular Baptist church, you know, normally it's just the hollering, and every now and then you'll be the up and down the aisles, you know. And don't think that people are trying to show out. People, if you go to a church and you start seeing somebody dancing and throwing their hands up and passing out, do not try to hold on to them, because you will get the mess out of you, and that person will not remember it. As a person
I've seen that every week
when I was spirit,
But
as a person who's actually caught the spirit, I used to think that they were joking, because they was like, if you catch a spirit, and when the spirit really, I could tell you something that I know. So I want people to listen to this, and know I'm not preaching, but if a person catches the spirit a whole lot, what I came to find out, and I had a pastor tell me this when I was younger, because I used to catch the spirit a lot, and he said the reason why I was catching the spirit was because there was something going on inside of me, and there was like a fight with the devil. So it's not always the devil fighting, but when a young person catches the spirit a lot, there is a fight with the devil going on. And I've noticed that it's normally older people who will catch it, and they don't always, you know, normally it's just that feeling that comes over you, because I've caught the spirit as an adult, and I know exactly what he's saying, because when I used to catch the spirit as a child, it was that battle, and it was a big battle. But as an adult, it's not, it's, you know, unless there's a lot going on, it's just that feeling. And I'm going to tell people, if you don't know what the spirit feels like, the way I could describe the spirit, and this is what, and you guys are on here, so y'all can tell me, but if you've ever gone to a parade or a wedding or seen a really good movie where you get that feeling of like, why am I wanting to cry? You know, there ain't nothing going on. That's what the spirit feels like. It's that feeling that takes over your body that you have no control over.
Yes, I agree. I've never, quote, really caught it, but my mom, Oh, man, she caught it at a church I was working for, and it was a Assemblies of God, Pentecostal-ish, but she caught the spirit, and she spoke in tongues.
Yes.
And that just blew my mind because of how my mom was raised with the Christian Scientist.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I mean, that was one happy day for me when that happened.
But when it takes you over, it takes you over. So I tell people, when I see people joking about it and they act like they're in tongues, I'm like, don't do that. Don't play with God. That's because God don't like that. Because when you really start speaking in tongues and you see it and you understand it, it is something that I tell everybody. And the person who's going through it don't know they're going through it. I mean,
yes,
it is totally something that takes over you. So it's not like they're not going to say, oh, well, I remember doing this. I can never tell you. When I caught the full spirit with the dancing in tongues, I can't tell you anything that's happened. Now, when I've had that overwhelming feeling when I've started crying and I'm yelling hallelujah, that's different. But that's the spirit coming in you, but it's not the full talking in tongues and the dancing spirit. That's the spirit coming in
and
just letting you know it's okay.
Yep, and that was my mom. Mm-hmm. When she did that, it's like, I did what? I was like, yeah, she did. she started crying after I told her. And, I mean, it was pure, I mean, wonderful.
Well, when I was little, I used to go to a Baptist church a lot. That's when, back in the days when mothers, especially grandmothers, make you go to church. And the church I went to was Baptist. And sometimes it is, I mean, like Miss B said, they got the spirit and yelling, dancing, and all that, and the music's playing real fast, like, and the reverend does his sermon. I mean, sometimes that sermon it takes about sort of like an hour for a sermon at the church I went to. All depends on the reverend. But like,
wait a minute, all the parents on the parishioners. That's why I go to. That's why anybody who's ever heard me, I try to go. And I'm telling y'all, this is something that I do because I do not like being in church all day. I am that child that used to get to church for Sunday school at 9:45, and I felt like I didn't get back home until like 7 in the evening. And then I felt like I was back at church a couple of days later. So as a person who grew up in the church with the, you go to church and you just don't go, you go and pray. And then I raised my children that was my children can't stand going to church because I did it to them up until they was like 5 years old. And I was like, okay, I can't be torturing my children like this because they're going to hate me. So I stopped it early on. So now they make their own choice. But I also realized that I wasn't getting nothing done being in church all day. So what I do now, and churches have also come to realize to keep your parishioners, if you have more than one service, you normally get more parishioners in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the early morning parishioner. Let me get to the 7:30 service and be out by 9:30, so we good. I kid you not.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask something. Why go a long time for church? I mean, sometimes I go, this is a Baptist church I'm talking about. I mean, I used to go to church. Church usually starts around 11 o'clock in the morning. That's what that time church does. Sometimes it not be over until around 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
1:30 in the afternoon. Or sometimes 2 o'clock at the latest.
Okay,
and then,
reason why Baptist churches go long, and I'm going to tell you, this goes back to slavery. The reason why church services go so long in the black church, because there's Baptist churches all over the place. Now, I've been in the white Baptist churches, and depending on the church, they are not like the black Baptist churches. So black Baptist churches, the reason why they go so long, for one, they used to only have one service, which was the 10:45 service. And the reason why it goes so long, that was the only day that the plantation masters allowed all of the slaves to be together and to congregate. So those services were a way to communicate what was going on. That's what those services, they talked about escaping. They shared food. That was the only time they, that was, and they really didn't get no rest because they probably was back out in the fields, but that was the only time that the plantation owners would let the slaves congregate. And that's why they went so long, because they took full advantage of that little bit of freedom that they had. And that was about as much freedom as they got, was to attend these services. And remember that the slaves didn't know how to read. So if you had a person within that group who maybe was one of the slaves that worked in the house, and they had been taught how to read by someone in the house, and they were normally the ones who were reading the Bible and doing their interpretation. So it was taking longer because during that time, they were probably also teaching others to read. And that's how the service became to go so long, because it wasn't just about praising the Lord. It was about a gathering. And that's, you know, I remember going to church, and I can tell you, Sunday dinner, if you were lucky enough to make it home, Sunday dinner was a dinner in itself. But you started cooking Sunday dinner before you went to church. And then if you had to stay at church, now, first Sunday, it used to be when I was growing up, first Sunday you stayed at church because you had morning worship at 10:45, church ended at 1, 1:30. You go to the basement of the church, you're having dinner, and dinner, it seemed like it went forever to me. I couldn't even tell you. And then you back up in the doggone sanctuary for another service.
Yeah.
So, but that was normally on the first Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell people that after going through that, the majority of my childhood, and then being such a person that decided that my children had to be penalized just like I was and make them do it, when I found out that there were churches that were having services at 7:30 in the morning, because I started going to Catholic church because I was like, you know, the Catholics get in and out in 20 minutes. They don't be playing that dog on 2 or 3 hours. I was tough. You were in church. I'm serious. You, and my family laughed because of me going to Catholic school. I understand how to do. I could go to a Catholic service, and my family found out really quick. One of our family members is actually Roman Catholic, and their grandmother passed away. The rest of my family had no clue what's going on. I said, okay, you do this, you do this. I'm walking them through the doggone Catholic service. They was like, we thought you was Baptist. I said, remember, I went through the whole thing. I just never got baptized as Catholic. I was like, I know the whole thing to be in a Catholic church. Plus, when I want to make sure I'm serving God, I take my hot foot and I go right up into Catholic church, okay? And I've had people tell me, you shouldn't take communion because you're not Catholic. I said, let me tell you something. I said, it's still the body of Christ. And I said, I know how to take the body of Christ because, like, I had to tell my family, do not take communion if you don't understand how to do it. You know, so, like, at Catholic funerals, you do communion. So it was, like, really funny because they're like, did she just tell us not to? And then they understood, and they were like, oh, wow. And then it was like, you're not Catholic? I was like, no, I'm not. I said, but I know the whole routine.
Let me ask you both something. Ever, like Easter, let me give you the image. Go to a sunrise service. You know, like go to church before the crack of dawn, like about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I love the sunrise service because the sunrise service only go about 1 hour and 15 minutes. Hey, listen, you get to get up out of church, get home to have breakfast, take your clothes off and be looking and watch a football game or something. Come on now. Yes. Give me a sunrise service. I wish they always had sunrise service. The sunrise service is the quickest doggone service that the church has.
But the question is, you got to get up at the crack of, I mean, last time I went to a sunrise service, it was probably about
Randy. It is so worth it. It is so worth it as a person.
I mean, I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking the sunrise service. But getting up at 5:30 and 4:30 in the morning just to get to church and be at church by the crack of dawn. I mean, I'm not knocking it. I'm just telling it like it is. And then you've got to go to the sunrise service. Then you got to take a break, go to a little breakfast. Then you got to go to the regular service. This is Easter we're talking about here.
Well,
see, that's why. Now, see, that's why my church and the church I used to go to. The church I used to go to in Detroit before I moved where I live at now used to have three services, and they had the sunrise service, and then they had the next service after the sunrise service, and they had the regular morning worship. I went to the sunrise
yep.
service, which was at 6 in the morning, and the reason why I went to it is because, let me tell you something, if I go to sunrise service, I'm not hanging around for nothing else, because that means that I could go to sunrise service, get back home by 8:30. And I could be up out my clothes. I could be looking at everybody else like, oh, that's so cute that your children are doing. Isn't that pretty?
Exactly.
Them babies look good. You know what? Well, I'm gonna,
exactly.
You know what? It ain't noon yet, but I'm going to go have me a glass of wine. And that, there are some nice looking children. And they'd be like, you know, the church, and baby, I've been to church. Wait a minute, baby, I've been to church already. So I'm like.
Yes. I agree. That's it. And see, out here around me, I mean, there is no early morning service out here by me in Choctaw or Hera. It's all, I mean, 10:50, 10:45, 11
mm-hmm.
o'clock.
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah, okay. Now, where I work, church-wise, at the Assemblies of God, it was, yeah, we had like a 8:30 service for about
mm-hmm.
an hour. Then 9:45 had Sunday school classes, and then at 10:45, 10:50, at service mm. again until basically about 12:15, 12:30, then come back, and 6 o'clock at night, have another service.
Hmm. I mean, I can remember Presbyterian church I went to, I think about 30 years ago. I mean, usually, when I first time I went there, the service, Presbyterian church, usually about an hour service.
Mm-hmm.
Good to go right there. They don't play around. But as the years go by, and this is a black church, black Presbyterian church we're talking about here. But
they're trying to hang
by,
with the Baptists.
I mean, the service is from an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking the Presbyterian church is not supposed to be that way. Well, first time is they usually run an hour, not 2 hours. 2 hours
yeah.
for Presbyterian church. I mean, something must be wrong about that. Something wrong about that. I mean, if I want to go to a church for 2 hours, I can go to a Baptist church, which I have during my youth. If I want to stay in church, I can go to a Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just crazy, man. I mean, and then that's probably one of the reasons why I left that church. It's
yeah.
One of
the- well, that's the thing. I mean, I went to a preschool that was a nursery-ish, whatever, daycare.
Uh-huh.
For Southern Baptist.
Uh-huh.
Now, on Sundays, going to a Southern Baptist church,
mm-hmm.
it was mom would have something cooking
mm-hmm.
in the morning before we left church, then go to church, and like you said, hour and a half or longer. It's like,
mm-hmm.
Mom, when are we leaving? I'm hungry.
I know what you mean.
Okay, but I'm going to ask y'all a question. Because, see, I'm dealing with, like, the Southern folks here. My grandmama used to, my great-grandmother used to have in her purse candy. She had that big
yeah.
pocketbook. And I remember women, we call them purses, obviously, we had the pocketbook. And I'm going to tell you that big pocketbook with clamps on it. I'm telling you, you can find every, I think my great-grandma used to carry the kitchen sink in her bag. I kid you not, because the peppermint, handkerchiefs, she might have some sweat, as they call it, the sand in there. But I say that there was everything up in that damn purse. That big-ass pocketbook, shit. They talk about me knocking people out with my purse that I carry now. I'm like, y'all ain't seeing nothing. My great grandmama used to have one of them old school purses that slip on the top. Shoot.
Yep.
You might find a child up in there. Come on, I thought that they had them work. Let me just, I'm going to throw the baby in my purse. They think they ain't going to church today. Why are these dogs still going crazy outside?
Yeah.
Troy, Tyler, come on.
And see, when Mom took me to a Christian Scientist church,
mm-hmm.
it was like an hour. It's like, okay, we're gone. So, yeah, and that's what blew me. She was raised that. And then when I worked for that church, you know, she got saved, born again, and just,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was awesome. I mean, one of the best memories I have of my mom was when we went to church, when all that happened.
I mean, another thing, I thought this stuff, I mean, like women dancing at church, I thought that stuff only happens on TV. But
you
go to a Baptist church, like I have since from about 6 until around 1985, don't get me started on that. When that organ started playing all fast, and when those older women got the spirit, I don't know how. They were dancing in the aisles. I mean, I've seen an old lady flip, do the cartwheels and stuff, but they were dancing all right.
Yeah.
They were dancing. I seen it happen. For a 6 or 7 year old, shoot, that was like one of the highlights of Sunday. as a 6 or 7 year old, that's the time that the parents, my mom or grandma, in my case, they make you go to
mm-hmm.
church. You say, you're going to church, boy. You're not staying
yeah.
home. My grandma is strict on that stuff. Grandma on my mother's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shoot, she was about 60. I was scared of that woman. I mean, come on. When I first, she was about 60 plus years old. I was scared of her. You know, my grandmother don't play around.
My grandmother won't play around today. My grandmother walked in there. We was eating it. We had already all said our individual prayers over our school day. My grandma said, y'all better stop what y'all doing. She's like, did y'all say the prayer? And we were like, we already prayed. She's like, I looked at my son and daughter, and I remember my children are adults. I don't have babies. I said, mama said we going to pray. Let mama pray. My grandmother prayed over the food today. You think any of us was playing with her? And my grandmother is 93. She will be 94 in a couple of weeks. When she said we getting ready to pray today, I sat there, my son and my daughter, we always pray over our food. My grandmother wasn't playing with us. Now, grant you, here's the kicker. My grandmama had already ate also, because we were all eating like when we felt like it. So, but my grandma was like, she's like, I know y'all are going to pray over this food. And I looked at her, I said, mama, we already prayed. She said, pray. My son and daughter, and I looked at them, I said, mama said we're going to pray. And I called my mom, I said, mom. And she's like, I was like, mama said we getting ready to pray. I said, you need to get in here. And she said the prayer, and we said amen. Shoot. That's the one thing. And my grandmother. But see, my grandmother, because my great-grandmother was the one who was big on going to church, so my great-grandmother really didn't go to church. I can probably count on my hand the number of times I've seen my grandmother in church, which people think that's crazy. But my grandmother, I think, okay, she was in – the day I got married, my grandmother was in the church. The day my aunt got married, she was in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The day my great-grandmother passed away, she was at church.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a family reunion a few years ago, she was at church. When my uncle passed away, she was at church. Mm-hmm. When my children got christened, she was at the church. Okay, that's 6 times.
Yeah.
I think... And this is my whole life. I'm serious. I'm being honest. This is my whole life. So if I can remember 6 times that my grandmother actually went to church, because she hasn't been in church since. No, she hasn't been in. Yeah. Six. I'll throw in. Oh, you know what? When my uncle was going to church, she went with him twice. So we got eight times. Those are the ones I know about.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was not one. My great-grandmother, oh, you will be at church every Sunday. And since she couldn't make my grandmama go and I live with them, oh, you will be at church. That's when I know that. But you know what? I thank God for my great-grandmother because that's how I learned about the church lady hat. Because you don't learn about these girls and they know. I was like, y'all don't know about church lady hats. You just don't go get a church lady hat. You have to know where. See, stores like Macy's used to have a full hat section. I grew up where you went to the store and you were looking for a hat. You looked for a hat like you looked for a pair of shoes. You went to hat department. I told somebody that they was like, well, I was like, oh no, you go to the hat department. And I said it was that there was nothing mixed in the hat department. It was hats in the hat department. I said, so let me get something real clear to you. I said, if you don't know about getting a hat in the hat department, then you don't understand what a church lady hat is. I said, because I used to wear, because as a young lady, the big hats I wasn't allowed to wear, so I always wore the pillbox hats that had like a small veil on them, and all them were my ex-husband. But I tell everybody, I can't find those hats no more. Those type of hats. I probably could. I just haven't looked, but I've gotten into such the big brim hats because I got to be such a showboat. I've got I have two brand new hats that I bought during COVID that I still have not worn because I haven't been to church. And ladies, if you don't understand, there's a place to wear hats. You wear hats at funerals and church.
Yep.
If it's the most appropriate hat, you were, now see, if I make my butt down to the Kentucky Derby, I got me a derby hat, too. Because, see, y'all see these folks with these fascinating, those ain't hats. What you need is a hat to speak. You want people to walk up to you. And I know that I have a real hat because whenever I go to church down south, I've had so many people try to take my hat, and I'm like, uh-uh, you can't have my hat.
Yeah. Yeah, see, some of those hats are bigger than their heads.
Oh, yeah.
Bigger than their heads.
That's how mine are.
Way big.
That's how my hats are.
I don't understand. I mean, when I was a kid, I don't understand that. I mean, why do they have to have hats bigger than their heads?
Let me tell you something. Hats are status symbols. Because if you, as a woman, let me explain something to you. As a woman who wears hats, now, you don't go to JCPenney and Kohl's and buy your hat. If you want to make a status, if you want to let people know, I am that bitch, woman, as Lizzo said in her song, I just took a DNA test and it says I'm 100% that bitch. If you want to know who that bitch is, check out the hat. Because that hat will tell you a whole lot about that woman. A woman who has a good hat, who is invested in a hat, is a woman that you want to talk to. Because, see, if she will invest in her hat, she will invest in you.
Yep.
Because, see, you can't – my hats are conversation pieces. I have – when I go around my family, they're always talking about, oh, yeah, we want your hat. I'm like, y'all ain't getting my hat. My hats cost too much. One hat for me normally costs more than a pair
of
shoes.
It.
I have hats that cost
it.
$150, $200. So, no, the thing with the hat, it is that is the crown of beauty. Listen, you can have your hair pulled up in a ponytail. You throw that hat on, baby. It's a brand new day. And with that,
it is
the end of Sunday. We have come to a beautiful Easter. I told y'all we done made this fun. So have a great week, everybody. We will be back. And just like me. We all got to go to work tomorrow. Go get your sleep on. Don't drink too much. Those of y'all who don't have children in school this week, respect everybody around you because other folks got jobs. Have a great week.
That's it.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Ciao.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but it's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has that.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby.